What's it like inside the abortion industry, inside the abortion clinics? Well, we're going to talk right now with Abby Johnson, who actually used to be a director of one of the Texas chapters of Planned Parenthood. She wrote a book, in fact, about that experience called Unplanned, but now she has helped create a book called The Walls Are Talking, which deals with not only her experience inside the abortion clinics, but also other former employees as well. Abby, thank you so much for joining us here on Vocal Point, and I'm Jerry Newcomb. But go ahead, Abby. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate this.
Oh, no, I'm so glad to be on here with you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, The Walls Are Talking. This is a book I think people should know about. What's it like working inside the abortion clinics?
You know, I think that it's something that a lot of people haven't really thought about. I think it's a place that a lot of people haven't ever experienced themselves. So we really wanted to just give an overview of the reality inside today's abortion facilities. And, you know, let people know that what they hear about the abortion industry, that this is this, you know, safe and sterile and clean facility. It may not be exactly what they're hearing in the media. And so we just really wanted to also put some humanity behind the people that work inside the industry, that they're not monsters, but that they are people who can absolutely be redeemed and who are worthy of forgiveness. And so, we definitely wanted to sort of expose what's going on, but we also wanted people to find hope in the book.
Huh. Okay, your story might not be totally known to all our listeners. Can you tell it briefly? What happened to you?
Sure. I worked for Planned Parenthood outside of Houston, the Houston affiliate, for 8 years. I was an abortion clinic director at one of their facilities and left in 2009, left in October of 2009, after several things had happened. One, I had been instructed to increase the abortion quota at our facility, which was, you know, strange to me because I really got involved with Planned Parenthood believing that abortion was something that we were trying to eradicate, make unnecessary through various education programs. And
safe, legal, and rare.
Sure. I mean, that's what we said to the media, and so that's what I believe. But then ultimately, I left in the fall of 2009 after witnessing a live ultrasound-guided abortion procedure where I saw a 13-week-old baby fight and struggle for his life during an abortion procedure only to lose that fight. And I realized then that there was humanity in the womb, that there was life there. And if that was true, then it needed to be defended. And, you know, I also recognized at that time that not only had I been lied to by Planned Parenthood, but because I had so eagerly believed those lies, I had lied to thousands of other women who had come into our facility. And so I knew I had to leave. And so I did. And, you know, I just started talking about my experiences inside the abortion industry, but really also calling for healing for people, not only people who had abortions, but also those people like me who had worked in the industry and who wanted to leave.
What happened to you after you left? I mean, how did you, in fact, I know you've written about all this in a book called Unplanned, so people can get the details there. But I understand you ended up finding some pro-life people, even the kind that would pray in front of your clinic, and you essentially metaphorically went over to their side, seeking help from God and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for 8 years, almost every day that I had worked at Planned Parenthood, there had been people outside of my facility praying for, you know, the women going in to our facility, but also praying for us, praying for the workers. And so when I decided that I wanted to leave, I knew that I needed help. And, you know, I they had always told me that if I ever wanted to leave my job, that they would help me find a new job. And so, you know, I decided to reach out to them and see if they really would help me, if I could really take them up on that offer. And they just really embraced me and just sort of hit the ground running, trying to help me find a job and really giving me great support throughout that transition. Because, you know, leaving the abortion industry is not an easy transition. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely a lot of spiritual warfare that goes on whenever you leave. And so I needed help. I needed support. I needed that guidance.
Hmm. When you said earlier that part of what began to sow seeds of doubt, whether you were maybe even in the right field or in the right company even or whatever with Planned Parenthood, you said that they started having quotas and coming down hard on some of the different clinics. You got to get your quotas of abortion up. How much did abortion cost? How did that work? Any comments on that, on the financial side?
Well, yeah, I mean, our, you know, abortion is a product that Planned Parenthood is selling. It's not some, you know, unfortunate consequence that you know, they're reluctantly providing to women who need it. You know, it's a product, and they're making a significant profit off of each abortion that they perform. And it is a revenue-generating product for them. So they're trying to push it, and they're trying to sell it, and they're trying to really downplay other options that women could choose, like parenting their child or placing their child for adoption, because there's no money for them in that, because Planned Parenthood doesn't provide prenatal care and they don't help with adoption services. So really the only way that they can profit off of a pregnant woman is to sell her an abortion, and they are actively doing that in every Planned Parenthood clinic across this country.
Hmm. So this wasn't just something you personally experienced, or the people, let's say your supervisors or whatever, as you've gotten out of it and you've exchanged notes with others, this is just systemic. This is all about making money for many of them, most of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Wow.
They, in fact, in 2014, they put out a mandate that said by the end of the year, every single one of their Planned Parenthood affiliates had to be abortion providing. So that meant that they had to have at least one clinic in their affiliate that was performing abortions. And that sort of shows you where their head is in this. I mean, they want to sell abortion. They want to push abortion. That's absolutely how they make more than 50% of the revenue they bring in. And so, you know, it is that product that they're trying to push out to everyone who comes in.
Reminds me of that movie with the line, you know, show me the money. Okay, we're talking right now with Abby Johnson. She's written a book called Unplanned, and also she has been the lead provider, contributor for a book called The Walls Are Talking. Now, I understand with The Walls Are Talking, where you dealt with other clinic workers as well. Tell us about that book in terms of who helped contribute, you know, content for that book, The Walls Are Talking.
Sure. So when we started the ministry reaching out to abortion clinic workers, you know, we provide healing resources for these workers that come to us. And many of them came to us and said, you know what, I feel like part of my healing needs to be sharing my story. And that's not the case for everyone, but for some people, they really had stories that they wanted to get out there. They had, you know, various situations that took place in the clinic while they were there that they wanted to share with the public just to really expose what's taking place. And so they just, you know, we said, well, hey, look, if you have a story, you know, write it down and we'll see what we can do with it. And, you know, eventually we had so many, we thought, you know, we should put these together in a book so that people can see what's really taking place inside of our country's abortion industry.
Yeah, okay, so go ahead and just give us a few names. Anybody we maybe have heard of, or are these just people we haven't heard of, but they had these various jobs? Maybe highlight one or two.
Well, so all of the stories are told in first-person format. So they're all anonymous stories.
Oh, okay, anonymous, okay.
Yeah, so they're all anonymous stories shared by, you know, some people that have been public with their story before, some people who have not. Most of them have not been public with their story. But, yeah, they're all written in first person, so you can't tell, who's telling one story or who's telling another story. And we think that that's really powerful because it sort of puts people, I think, in the storyteller's shoes. You know, it helps them understand how they got to, how they came to work in an abortion clinic. And then, some of the things that took place. And I think it makes it really powerful telling it in that first person.
Okay, highlight one of those stories without telling their name and not including your own story, please.
Sure. I think one of the most powerful stories, well, they're all very powerful, but I think one of my favorites in the book is a story about a young girl who came in. She was developmentally delayed. She was 16 years old when she came in for an abortion. And she had been sexually assaulted by her stepbrother, and her parents had actually walked in while this was taking place. The stepbrother was in jail for the assault, and he had told them at the time that it only happened one time. And so based on that, she should have been about 12 weeks along in her pregnancy. But during the ultrasound, they found out that she was much further. She was about 18 weeks. And so that was very devastating for the family because they realized that this had been going on much longer than they had even realized. It had not been a one-time occurrence. And so after the ultrasound was performed, they said, well, you know, we can't perform this abortion here at this clinic. We don't do abortions that far along. And so the doctor, the abortionist, had said, well, you know, take the parents into an office, and I'm going to come in there in a little bit. And so he did. And, you know, sort of the protocol for that would be, well, you know, we will refer you to another abortion clinic who can perform the abortion at 18 weeks along. That was sort of the standard protocol. But in that moment, this abortion doctor, who was known for being very crass and really just, you know, having sort of that gallows humor and just very, you know, sort of hard-hearted, just looked at this family and said, look, I could do the abortion at my own private practice, but I just don't think that's the best, you know, option for you guys. I really think the best option is for her to place the baby for adoption. And this worker recalls that story and really was just amazed. I mean, it was really shocked that this doctor would even suggest adoption because that was not something that they ever suggest in their clinic. And for me, that's really the heart of this book and what we're trying to tell is, yeah, some of the stories in it are horrible to read and terrible the way that women are being manipulated and used. But in this instance, I think it shows us that really, you know, no one is beyond the opportunity and the power of conversion. I mean, anybody can come to Christ. Anybody can have that moment of conversion, and really we're all just sort of a breath away from having that moment. And so it's stories like that should give us hope. Yeah. And, you know, really we've had 300 workers come through our ministry and 7 full-time abortionists who have come through our organization. And,
wow.
And that just shows you that the power of conversion is very real and that it's happening almost on a daily basis.
Wow. And they're leaving the abortion industry. And I assume that when you're talking about the healing process, I assume Jesus is front and center for your own healing from this.
Yeah.
Half a minute.
Absolutely.
We have half a minute.
Because where does forgiveness come from? Where does mercy come from? I mean, all of that comes from Christ. And that's definitely at the center of everything that we do.
Excellent. AbbyJohnson.org for more information. Again, the book we've been talking about specifically this time is called The Walls Are Talking. She also wrote the book called Unplanned. Again, you can get more information at AbbyJohnson.org. Thank you so much, Abby, for being with us. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now.